We are at the last two verses of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. And hear this. This is the word of the Lord. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Some professing Christians chase the academics. They chase those who seem to be more intellectual and learned. By the way, they cast off the old faith of the church and find within the scriptures some error or some new way of understanding that the church has not hitherto taught or is not part of the faith of the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Others chase those who are willfully, intentionally ignorant, who have set their minds aside. They are after the one who rejects both mind and claims a knowledge deeper than the words of any book could possibly reach. They are the ascetic, the academic, and people seek to follow them because they seek to find some step up from the place where they're at. And they think those are opportunities to get there. They're each of these professing believers are looking for someone to stand upon. They're looking to stand out. Well, the question that Peter leaves us with is what is your stability and where is your foundation? What are you really going to stand on in this topsy-turvy world where the world and the world within the church can bring so much trouble? As Christians, we are not really at the mercy of competing foundations. We are stable, and we see in God's work the very framework that holds us and keeps us stable. Yet, nevertheless, Peter ends his book having taught us that there are people who will try to destabilize us. And he leaves us really with a set up on a solid rock. He knows the people have been surrounded by the mud and the mire, and that he wants to finish off by giving us a sure understanding of how to stay stable and secure on the foundation, given the false teachers, given the apostates, given the threats not only in the world, which is really more 1 Peter, but the threats within the community, the church community, which is 2 Peter. So only two things this evening are left to us. First, maintaining stability requires you to be on guard. Maintaining your stability in the faith requires you to be on guard. Again, Peter is speaking tenderly. Verse 14, therefore, beloved. Here, verse 17, you therefore, beloved. Peter is addressing the people in a way to help them see the very tenderness of God towards them. So when Peter says beloved, yeah, they're beloved to Peter, but more importantly, they're beloved to the Lord. They're beloved to Him. And they are to know that, and you are to know that. The fact that Peter leaves them with when maintaining their stability, to be on guard, is that there are people around them who seek to have that destabilizing effect. They are, as he describes them, he's already in chapter 2, really described them in essence of who they were. But he calls them again, reminding them that they are lawless people. They are ignorant people. They are unstable people. These are the people who do not stand on the foundation of Jesus Christ and His Word. These are the people who twist the Scriptures and do so to their own destruction. So, we often think the problem is that true Christianity, this true Christianity and is false teaching, that's the false teachers, the apostates, and that we as Christians, or perhaps the people in these churches that to whom Peter is writing, are kind of stuck in the middle. And on one side, there's the tug of true Christianity. And the other side, there's the tug of false Christianity. And we're in the middle, and we're being pulled this way. And then we're being pulled that way. But that is not the image that Peter gives. You are not stuck in the middle between two opposing forces. Well, to think that way, we'd be in a bad situation. If we really thought that we were in this position where we could be pulled either to the truth or to falsehood. If you are a Christian, you are not in the middle. You are decidedly and absolutely in Christ. And being in Christ, you stand not to the middle. You stand very much with Him. So your initial position as a Christian, who has professed true faith in Jesus Christ and belong to Him, you are already stable. Okay? And it's that which you are to keep in. So with that, remembering that you are the one who is in a stable position, I want you to consider a situation of a great city with a great wall. Jerusalem was described this way, with a great wall, and that wall was a defensible position. It was a secure position. It was a stable position. That it is the work of the liar, it is the work of the false teacher and the apostate, it is the work of the ignorant, it is the work of the unstable, it is the work of the one who twists the scripture to come and try to dethrone you or take you off of what is very, very stable. Right? You're in a stable place. The one who wants to carry you away is in the weak position. Well, it's described this way. Peter says, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away. Passive. It is the work of the false teacher to actually go and take you and bring you away from where you were, stable, right? It is not that you are in the middle and you could go either way and they're coming and wanting to tip your scale in one direction so you don't tip the scale in the other. That you are not in a balanced on a scale that could go either way. You are with Jesus Christ and they're in the weakened position to have to come and get you. Right? They're in the weak position. We don't always think of that. We think that the world has all this power. We think that we are somehow stuck on the seesaw in the middle, just waiting to see which side will fall on. You're not going to fall. You've already taken a side. Christ has already taken you to His side. You are there. And so He says, take care. Lest they carry you away. The carrier is the one who has to move you. The one seeking to carry you off must come to you. They must do the work of trying to pull you away. They may have a lot of tools to do it with, but they are not guaranteed success. In fact, the odds are set against them. Do you believe that? That the odds are set against them? It's not even a matter of odds. When it comes down to the preservation and perseverance of the saints, there's no odds about it. You are 100% with God. They have tools to seek to draw you away from what you know. And even if they cannot take you out of the hands of Christ, and they cannot if you're truly a believer, they want at least to bring you off the wall. They want at least to make you think that you are in this position of uncertainty and instability. The only hope that they have is in you being careless. That's why Peter says, take care. Take care, be on guard, be watchful. They have no hope of having anything in you but that you, for a time, cease to pay attention and seek and cease to watch what they are up to. So yes, you are stable in Christ. You are the one who has to be carried. You are the one who is at first immovable. You do not move yourself. It is for them to take you away. There is your own, he says, stability. Your stability is yours. And it's yours, not that you can lose it ultimately, but it is yours to lose even momentarily for a time. There are seasons where Christians have this struggle, and they come with such doubts that they seem as though they have left the city. And they have walked out into the wilderness where all these false teachers are, and some people have wandered for a time there. This position of strength you are in, this place on the wall, is not because you are particularly a super person, but it is all resting upon Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you have the Spirit. You know that what Peter has taught, that you will not be destroyed when the fire comes and the world is destroyed. You will be part, rather, of the new heavens and the new earth. You are settled, like the Scripture is settled. For just as Peter says that some of the things that Paul has written are hard to understand, and the ignorant and unstable twist it to their own destruction, you are stable because you believe the Scriptures. You have that untwisted in its wonderful form that you have before you on your laps. So you must be on guard. And that is the command. It's what is necessary. It is not necessary for you to do what Christ has already done. It's not necessary for you to do what the Spirit is doing in you. You can't replace the Spirit in you. But it is necessary to be on guard, to be mindful of your position, to be aware of their attacks. As Paul says, put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the evil one. The watchman on the wall, that great high wall, the solid place, does not become complacent simply because he's secure, right? Someone is put on guard on that wall, not because it's going to collapse, not because it is unstable, but because given that it is stable, there are yet those outside who want to take you from it. So you take care. You watch. Even an unbeatable force keeps watch for their enemies. Negligence is not excused by the fact that we are secure. A lack of true appreciation for the strength of the ground one stands on gives enemies a place. So you must apply yourself to watching, for taking care and being aware of what's going on. You do. You have to be watchful. You listen attentively. You pay attention. You are not assuming false teaching, but you are aware when it happens and you're looking just in case. Finding stability or maintaining stability requires that you have that watchfulness. But remember, it's a watchfulness from a good, solid wall, right? Then maintaining stability requires you to grow. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we said, the stability you have, that strong foundation, is Jesus Christ. You've been set there, firmly placed there. You are not teeter-tottering. You are in a good place. And you know you have to take care and be on guard, and it takes discernment. You have to know the truth to identify the error. But grow in grace, the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grow in the favor of God and your understanding of the spiritual blessings that are yours in the heavenly places, as Paul says in Ephesians 1. Right? So you have these spiritual blessings. And how many of us have fully understood and come to
come to learn all the spiritual blessings we have in heavenly places. None of us have fully come to embrace all of that. We embrace it as true, but we've not matured and grown to have a full appreciation of all the things that are ours in Christ. The grace and favor of our God towards us. We have not come to such full maturity that we have understood everything. Where there's a place for us to grow. We're to grow in our understanding of the favor of God. These are the things an apostate or false teacher will twist and try to undermine. They will try to question, as Satan did to Eve. Are you really secure? Are you really where you need to be? Do you know that there's so much more out here if you would eat the fruit? And she didn't think she was secure. She didn't think about how stable she really was. She didn't think about that as she was made to grow more and more in the knowledge of her God and His ways as they tended the ground. The apostate or false teacher will try to get you to go to a place where your imagination of something better than what Christ has given you is there. And it's for you to grow in grace to where your imagination of something better than what Christ has given you becomes so absurd, so foolish, so insulting. It's insulting that you never give it the time of day. Someone who's growing and maturing in their awareness of the grace of our God through the Lord Jesus Christ, when offered something that the academic will give. This is not an insult to our great men and women of academia who really study God's Word and truly understand it, and the historic faith has given in the Scriptures. This is those who would say, look, You can be smarter than your fellow Christians. You can be smarter than them. You can be smarter than your parents if you take this tact. Because this really, it'll even make you acceptable in other academic circles. Be reasonable. This is the life that you can have. You can be someone who stands out and doesn't just follow the rest of the flock. Or you can be that person who doesn't bend one's mind to reason, but flows with the knowledge of the spiritual that is inside of you, right? This is the lure of the deception, that you can have this knowledge of God, that you can have this great life without any contact or reasonable understanding of what God has done in history, that you can just flow along with your feelings. And as long as you have that, who is there to deny you all the spiritual highs that await you? Because a lot of spiritual highs await you if you would simply close your mind and open your spirit as if the mind and the spirit were separate. Well, you grow in the knowledge of the grace and favor of your God. Then you hear that. And you hear someone come and say, well, yes, but we understand that the universe came about this way. Or we understand, well, the Bible really doesn't say that. Or we understand that the Bible is so full of error that you can possibly... And you listen to that, what are you offering me? That's absurd. It's absurd that there would be a salvation without the blood of Christ on the cross. It's absurd that there would be some salvation without an atonement. It's ludicrous to think that I can do something to cover up my own sins. It's insane. You must be twisted. You must be ignorant. You must be unstable, which is what they are. But you are stable. You are set. You are settled. And they have come. And they have tried to pull down that wall on which you stand. And you've looked down, and that rope is not going to pull down that rock. So I'm going to pull it down. And you look at those silly people. They're foolish. Grow in the grace. Grow in the grace so that no one can offer you a kind of grace that is no grace at all. No one can offer you the favor of God cheaply bought by your own works.
You won't fall for that. Grow in the knowledge. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, lies are recognized as we know more and more of the truth. The vast literature of false teaching and hostile attacks on the faith through Christian history have seemed in their day and age to be reasonable. Right? You understand that? That all the heresies that have ever come through the history of the church had a season, and it seems to cycle out, they seem to come back, right? Where they seemed very, very reasonable. They seem to be something that makes sense. And it seems to draw people out time and time again as it's brought back into the history as Satan tries the same tactic over and over again. It worked on some people in the past and might work on again. It tends to work on those who have not taken time to know the Lord Jesus Christ as revealed in Scripture. They've set aside the faith. They have set aside the necessity of a confession of faith that draws the Scriptures and takes the teaching of Scripture and has it in a way that can be that you can understand and know what you believe. So they dismiss it. They say, we don't need that. We don't need the work and the labors of the church in dealing with these heresies. And lo and behold, the heresy comes up and no one saw it coming. Because no one chose to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They chose not to pursue knowledge. You may think that you have enough knowledge and you don't need to grow anymore in grace or knowledge. But then you might think you don't need to make your calling and election sure, which Paul tells us to do. But the most dangerous of lies is the one that latches onto a gap in your understanding or feeds a perceived weakness in the grace of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. The biggest lie, the most dangerous one, attacks in that place where you feel that God has let you down. Eve, God just doesn't want you to be wise. Young man, young woman, your church just doesn't want you to experience the fullness of a spiritual life or the fullness of a prosperous, healthy, wealthy life. Or your parents just want to bind you up in tradition. They don't want your mind to explore other truths, other things, other religions, other experiences. They just want to hold you back. Most dangerous lie is the one that latches on to the gap of your understanding and your appreciation of the grace of God. So grow in it. Let's consider just Matthew's gospel as we saw this morning. Just take an example because we've been in it. The moral issues, the law, as Jesus addressed it in his Sermon on the Mount, he corrected what? He corrected lies. He corrected false teaching concerning the application and all the implications of the law of God. What had that false teaching done to the people of Israel? Well, as we saw this morning, it gave them false comfort that they were innocent. It gave them the sense that they can assuage their own guilt, not by the necessity of the cross, not by coming to Jesus Christ, not by coming in repentance, but by misapplying and twisting. Right? You see, they twisted the Word of God. It's always a twist. So the cross doesn't just become insufficient, it becomes unnecessary. It becomes unnecessary. The Christian remains stable because the lies offered run into a vastly greater understanding. And that greater understanding is what we have in God's Word. That the lies run into a wall that is strong and goes even beyond the earth. You know, these cities, rightly built, they don't start on level with the ground. You start on level with the ground, that's a weakness in your construction. It goes deep, deep, deep down. For you as a Christian, those lies ought not have any bewitching appeal to you as it did to the Galatians, as Paul said. Jesus is known far too well than for you to believe the slanderous lies and the twisting of Scripture. The knowledge of Jesus as the Lord of glory, no one can convince you otherwise. Why? Because you're growing. You're growing in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because you're watchful. You're taking care. Peter's two epistles have taught us that it is a hostile world. It's a hostile world out there. And it's a hostile world even within the professing Christian world, right? Professing Christian, those who walk up and say, I'm a Christian, which would include churches that are no churches at all. The true church has had to come out from the oversight of the false in history. And the false have had to be jettisoned from the true in history. We've seen it. We've seen it in the experience of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. The lie is that that is a mark of a fractured church. The lie is that there is no universal church. There is no one holy Catholic and apostolic. That's the lie. The lie is that all these divisions mean that we are not really united. True, there are some divisions that ought not be, but consider this from John's epistle, his first epistle. Chapter 2, verse 19. You're familiar probably with this. They, talking about the apostates, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they are not all of us. So in the history of the church, there have been times when the church has had to put out heresy and the heretics and had to separate them and put out. There have been times when the church has been put out as heretics, but it was actually the true church that was put out of the false. But in all those things, in all those ways, the truth is, there is the church. It is a stable church. There are Christians, and they are stable because they are built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We are the ones who rejoice in the praise and glory of Christ, now and to the day of eternity. So Peter, the good apostle, the elder, as he describes himself, the father in the faith, as he very much is, he's a father in the faith, has taken the time to remind us of our security. We're there, and he's had the seat buckle. He's what I said for the long haul, the long drive. We are safe and we are secure, but we are not fools. We know there's an enemy. And sometimes the enemy seems to be from within. But it is for us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and to the day of eternity. The Christ as revealed in Scripture, both now and to the day of eternity. The Christ as we have come to praise Him and know Him as our Savior, from now to the day of eternity, that Christ and no other. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for the foundation. And no one can lay another foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. We thank you that, like the psalmist has said of old, you have set our feet on a high place. You've put us on a solid rock. And Father, we know that there are those who would seek to take us off. We pray that you would secure our hearts and minds and the knowledge of where we stand on Christ. That we would never see ourselves in the teeter-tottering of a one way or another, but we are secure and settled. Christ is our Savior. Blessed be His name from now to the day of eternity. And, O Lord God, we pray that You would cause us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we would never cease to explore the blessings which are ours in His name, that we would never seek to grow in our knowledge of Christ as He's revealed in the Scriptures from first to last, so all the days of our lives, and that we may stand firm even as we watch. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.